Standing, let us pray. Dear loving and eternal Lord God, give us understanding and discerning minds and hearts that can hear your word and act upon your will. Grant us this day some new vision of your truth so that we can be transformed from glory to glory. We ask this in the name of the strong deliverer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Remember last week I talked about the gospel, that it was sacrificial language, the flesh and the blood, that was the language really of the Torah. So just remember that as we read this passage today, although I'm not preaching on John again. That's, I think, probably next week. If God came to you in a dream and told you that whatever you asked for, you would receive, whatever you asked for, what would you ask for? A bigger house? No, because you just have to clean it. A better car? How about your bills being paid off? I'm going to say winning the lottery, but I hope nobody ever prays for that. Children's education taken care of. To be young again. Okay. To get rid of an illness or disease. To live forever. How would you respond to that? What is your deepest desire? Because I think our answer is often an indication of our priorities. And in the Old Testament reading today, from the Hebrew scriptures, the Lord appears to Solomon at Gibeon. And he says, "What should I give you? What do you want?" And what does Solomon say? He says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding and discerning mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil." It showed a certain humility in Solomon that he knew he needed the Lord to do whatever he was going to do. Now, Solomon was the second son of Bathsheba. The first child died. And Solomon had 10 sons, and Solomon was fourth in the order. So you can already see chronologically some problematic here, right? Because he wasn't the firstborn, you know, in the order. Just a little. Solomon, God was pleased with Solomon's request. And he promised him, what did he promise him? Not only great wisdom, but he promised him riches. Riches. And he adds in verse 14, the big if. Here it comes. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David, then I will lengthen your life. Whenever you see if in scripture, little spidey sentence should go off. So this sounds like a really good beginning. Solomon is starting off strong. He looks like a sure winner. And in this great start, makes it hard to understand how everything went so wrong. God kept his word, and Solomon became known throughout the ancient world for his wisdom and insight. And we all remember the story about the two mothers who come to Solomon, right? And said, "I'm the mother." Okay, cut in half, and the real mother comes. So. And he wrote about wisdom and its importance in these three books of the Old Testament, Proverbs, the Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. He was a great builder. He built the first temple in Jerusalem, as well as other numerous building projects. He was a shrewd business person, entering into trade agreements with surrounding nations. And it was a golden age for Solomon and the nation of Israel. But underneath the golden glitter were the seeds of destruction. The trade agreements brought material wealth and marriages with foreigners, solidifying alliances, but both ultimately led to the downfall of Solomon and the kingdom of Israel. Like all of us, he began so well. We begin so well in January when we say, "I'm going to go to the gym every day." And then by about March, we're lucky if we go there once a week. He began bit by bit, but he allowed other things in his life to replace God. It happens today in all kinds of ways. I was just thinking about this, and I think maybe the most obvious are politicians. I believe that anybody who does public service does want to initially help people. I just believe that, talking generally here. Pastors who come into ministry, passionate about God, but somewhere along the line, God gets replaced by some other things. Idols, success, people's approval. I have heard stories and read stories, and so have you, I'm sure, of men and women whose lives have been changed by an encounter with Christ, and they're on fire. And then something happens, and their hearts grow cold, and they fall away. Allowing unforgiveness, anger, or resentment to stay in our hearts can cause those who start strong to no longer or to find it difficult to walk in the ways of God. Solomon went from being God's man to having God tear the kingdom from his hands. And the only reason God didn't do it was because Solomon was directly was because of David, not because of the good that Solomon had done in the past. That didn't matter. And Solomon couldn't say, but God, I did this and I did that. I wrote these three books of the Bible. Doesn't that count? And the seeds are evident in the opening lines of chapter 3. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought them to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and walk around the city. Marriages between royal families were a common practice in the ancient Middle East. They ensured peace and stability, but they also allowed the influence of foreign ideas and practices into worship. I mean, we got to remember that these were a nomadic people. And I don't know what the time frame is, but maybe 500-600 years was really all they had to worship the Lord. And they'd spent a lot of time in the wilderness, and there's a lot of history before this. Solomon's foreign wives brought their gods to the holy city and eventually lured Solomon into idolatry. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts towards foreign gods. Solomon insisted on marrying them. 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. 1 Kings 11, 1-3. Along with his choice of foreign wives, Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense in the local places of worship. Solomon loved the Lord and kept his statutes. But even as he made sacrifices in the surrounding hills, he took the sacrifices out from under the appointed and watchful care of the priests and ministers loyal to God. And this opened the door for false teachings to be tied to the sacrifices. Old Testament law stated that you must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, and your offerings to fulfill a vow to the designated place of worship the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you like. And this prevented people from instituting their own methods of worship and kept other practices out. In other words, our spiritual ancestors were kept on a very short leash when it comes to worship. I remember being in seminary, and there were men and women from another particular denomination, I'm not going to say anything, who used to write their own liturgy. And I struggled with that because I love the liturgy that we have that have been around for 1,000 years, and we say those words again and again. When it came to worship, when God appeared to Solomon the first time, it was at night, not during the sacrifice. Solomon asked for wisdom, an understanding heart, in order to lead well and make right decisions. I guess when I read the text and it was being read, that he really didn't ask for wisdom in all areas of his life. He used it for governing. Solomon asked for understanding surrounding his work. What about other areas of his life? When we are in prayer, we ask the Lord for help. What areas do we focus on? Do we ask the Lord to show us where we need guidance? Do we ask for an understanding and discerning heart? Do we ask not for God to change others, but to change us? To put his nature in us so that we know what to do and the courage to follow through on it. How different it would be in our relationships, our spiritual growth, if every time we prayed, you know, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within me. If we asked for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Lord knew Solomon wasn't perfect, yet the Lord, in his grace and mercy, honored his request and will honor ours. When we come before the throne, I love that image, with torn clothes and runny noses and dirty faces and messed up lives, and ask for what truly lasts, not treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves can break in and steal. We can so easily get our priorities mixed up, and I have found in my own experience that this will lead to frustration and dissatisfaction, discouragement and apathy. And I think that, you know, working at putting God above all else, we will have contentment and experience and know inner peace. And by the way, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And it's not a one-off. It may take your whole lifetime and then some. If, as the word is implanted in our hearts, it takes time to gestate, to grow. So we need patience as God replaces our nature with that of Christ. God can make the necessary changes if we truly want to be a person with a discerning and compassionate heart in all areas of our lives. We need to ask and then allow God to have his way with us, even if often we have no idea where we are going. When we look at Solomon, we see that even though he was given the gift of wisdom over time, his foreign wives persuaded him to worship false idols, and his heart turned away from the Lord. God had no choice but to deal with this and promised Solomon that the kingdom would be divided. Remember that if? 1 Kings 11:9-11. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him. So now the Lord said, since you have not kept my covenant and have disobeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants. Within 11 chapters, the second great king of Israel lost everything. He and his kingdom crashed and burned. And it didn't start overnight. It started with minor departures from God. And turning away from God begins with little steps. It's not the sins that we don't know that trip us up. It's the sins that we excuse that cause us the greatest trouble. Solomon had God's promises, guidance, and answer to prayer, yet he allowed sin to turn him around. He began by laying a foundation with God, but never developed the discipline to follow through with it to the end. It's not enough to ask God to bless our marriages, our church, our ministry, our family, and our careers, if we're not going to remain faithful and obedient. God needs to be in control of our lives from start to finish. Solomon was a wise man, and yet even he stumbled. Like you and I, when he followed the Lord, he was a blessing. And when he did not do well. You know, maybe life is all about decision making. And each decision we make has an effect on our lives. So I'm going to take time this week, and I hope you do too, to reflect on aspects of my life and your life that contain small compromises. And then pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and remove anything if they are not transforming you from glory to glory. And then ask God all the time to make you wise about his priorities. That is a prayer that God wants to answer. And as our first hymn said today, Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us pray. Lord, help us to understand your words and fix our hearts on you. Walk with us and order our steps. In your mercy and grace, grant us wisdom and strength and guidance in everything we do. Lead us through the pitfalls of life and bring us to the life you have always planned for each of us. And let your will be done. Always. In Jesus' name. Amen.